Aren't you thankful you have a Bible? Praise our God. You have the Word of God available to us. Amen. We want to open it up this morning to Mark chapter number 4. And we're going to be preaching from chapter 4 and chapter 5 this morning. So I'm not going to be moving around to a lot of different portions of Scripture, just a few. But just want to cover some things here in Mark chapter number 4 and Mark chapter number 5. And when you find chapter number 4 and verse number 1, you can stand with us this morning for the reading of God's Word and our opening text. I'll not make you stand too long. Mark chapter 4, verse number 1. And he began again to teach by the seaside. And there was gathered unto him a great multitude, so that he entered into a ship and set in the sea, and the whole multitude was by the sea on the land. And he taught them many things by parables, and said unto them in his doctrine. Amen. I'm going to stop right there. I'm going to read several more portions of Scripture from this chapter. I'm going to stop right there, and you may be seated again this morning. But I want to point our minds toward the fact of what Jesus Christ was doing here this day. On this day, he was teaching. He was teaching them by parables, and in these parables, he was sharing the doctrine of the kingdom of God, or the principles of the kingdom of God, or the truths of the kingdom of God. All those words are synonymous with each other. They mean the same thing. So doctrine is not a bad word. Doctrine is a good word. Hallelujah. Because it just means Jesus Christ was sharing with the disciples and with the people just the way that it was. Amen. The truths of the kingdom of God. He was sharing with them things that they had not previously heard, that they not previously understood, and actually he was sharing in a manner where many of them still didn't understand. Still, many of them didn't perceive, but some of them did. Hallelujah. And that's the most important factor, is the reality of, you know, those that will hear. And the more they want to hear, the more they'll get to hear. Hallelujah. You see, it's all by the Spirit of God moving in our hearts, moving in our minds. And as we become acceptable, if I can use that word, in other words, receiving what God is speaking to us. Now, we've stepped into this house of worship here this morning. And from the time that our church service began, whether it was at 9:45 or 9:46 or 9:44, from whatever time it began, that is the moment that God began to speak. His word began to be shared. His truths began to be expounded upon. And things began to be spoken to point us to the doctrines of the kingdom of God. Everything that is shared inside these church services pertaining to the Word of God and the truths of God is profitable for you and I. Are you going to get rich this morning? Amen. Profitable, you know, and in the world's realm, profitable is what you want to be. When you go and you perform a job somewhere, you want it to be a profitable job. You want it to bring forth some income to support your family. You want it to be profitable. You never want to always operate as a loss. That's not profitable. It doesn't pay the bills. It doesn't take care of the circumstances. Doesn't take care of the situation. So we always want to be on the profitable side. And God's word is always profitable to the child of God. That's not very profitable to those that don't want to hear. It's not very profitable to those that don't want to delve into it or want to hear about it. It's not profitable to them. But it is very profitable to the one that has an ear to hear. Those that want to hear. And I want to share this morning, the title of this message this morning is All in a Day's Work. How many's ever had a work day? Almost everybody has one every Monday, a work day. Tuesday, a work day. Wednesday, a work day. Thursday, a work day. Friday, a work day. Saturday, a work day. And Sunday is God's day. Hallelujah. Praise God. And so we see, so we understand what a day's work is all about. So keep this in mind this morning. It's all in a day's work. As we begin to go through Mark chapter number 4 and Mark chapter number 5, keep that mind frame. This is all in a day's work for the Lord Jesus Christ. Everything that we're going to talk about this morning in these two chapters happened in one day with the Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. As chapter 4 then begins in verse number 3, he begins Jesus Christ. And I'm not going to go into each one of these parables, but I'm going to kind of just expound upon them. I'm sure the majority of us have heard the parable of the seed and the sower. And we've read the description that Jesus Christ gave to his disciples about the seed and the sower. And we understand that from this parable, the truth of the kingdom of God is that the gospel message is for everybody. God doesn't want anyone to perish. He wants his gospel spread to all individuals and all people. But yet at the same time, God is all knowing, and God knows all circumstances and situations. And as Jesus Christ begins to share this parable with those that are sitting around him, he is revealing unto them, even though God knows all things, he's still reaching. Hallelujah. He's still sending the gospel, and it is going to benefit those that will hear, those that will receive, those that will press towards what's coming their way. Hallelujah. Have you ever thought about pressing towards something? You know, pressing towards. You know, simple illustration, maybe this morning you're in a room, you're in a sanctuary, and you're sitting over here where Brother Cisneros is sitting, and church service has not started yet, and all of a sudden around the pony wall there steps a friend that you haven't seen in 10 years. And you recognize them immediately, you know their name. Are you just going to sit there and wait for them to come to you? Well, no, what are you going to get up? You're going to get up, you're going to start pressing towards them. Well, how you doing? Good to see, haven't seen you. That's pressing towards someone. Hallelujah. Woo, praise our God. You know, when the gospel message is coming our way, do we press towards it? Hallelujah. Or do we just sit back and wait for God to do something? Oh, God, help me. I need help. Oh, man, I need help. Really? How bad do you need help? Well, I really need it bad. Really? Well, how do you get it? How do you get it? Will you pray? Okay. Is that what you're doing? Well, no, I need help. Am I not predicting how we are, how I am sometimes? I have a need, and I know I need to pray, and I know I need help from God, but yet I am not doing one iota of a thing to get that help coming down from heaven. I'm not lifting my voice. I'm not lifting my hands. I'm not giving praise. I'm not bringing forth a need to my God, and yet I still sit and say, I need help. You see, I've got to get up, and I got to go towards what God is bringing. Man, as you go through that parable of the seed and the sower, you find that some of the seed just, you know, fell on stony ground, and immediately nobody wanted to do anything with it. And it was gone. The fowl of the air came and got it. And so we see then God is continually sowing the seed. Sowing the seed is not just for salvation. Sowing the seed is for spiritual growth. Also, because you notice that some were choked
by the cares of the world. And you can go read this. This is right here in Mark chapter number 4. And some of them, they received the word. They received the seed. But they allowed everything else to occupy their mind. And thus what God was trying to do was not received. It was choked out by the cares of this life, or the circumstances of this life, or the perils of this life, or the stress of this life. It was all choked out, and thus they were not fruitful. But then yet there were some that heard it, pressed towards it, and began to bring forth fruit, because every time the seed was sown, they were there grabbing a hold of it. Hallelujah. They were there growing in it. And they began to bring some 30-fold, some 60-fold, some 100-fold. In other words, their lives transformed into a magnificent walk with God. Hallelujah. Fruitful. And so we see then that God is all seeing, He's all knowing, yet at the same time, He's still reaching. He's still sowing the seed. He's still putting out the word. Hallelujah. He's still saving souls. He's still bringing work into the lives of people. Amen. And then we see in verse number 24, this is where we're going here this morning. In this parable, in this story, He is bringing forth the reality of the greater desire you have, the more you're going to receive. Are you just sitting there saying, I need help? Are you rising up and going towards the help? Woo! You see, because those who have greater desire are going to receive more. And then verse 26 talks about seed sown that will bring forth fruit in time. In time, it starts talking about the man that goes and he plants the seed, and he goes and he sleeps, and the days pass, and he knows that in time that it's going to bring forth fruit. It's going to bring forth what is needed. Hallelujah. And so we see that the kingdom of God takes time sometimes. Hallelujah. You know, God's time and our time are not on the same time level. Amen. You know, 1,000 days, is like, you know, one day is like 1,000. God's not the same. Amen. He doesn't operate on the same timetable as we do. And we may think 20 years is a long time, but really it's not. It's not a long time at all. But it is time for the seed to make fruition and begin to grow. And it talks about bringing in the harvest. Woo! Hallelujah. See, things like that take time. Hallelujah. And so we see then that in verse 31, it talks about the grain of the mustard seed, and that how that small beginnings in God become greater. Kind of like the song, Little is Much. When God is in it. Hallelujah. I've clung. Amen. To that song multitudes of times. Little is much when God is in it. And it has taken me through the test of time. It's taken me through storms. It's taken me through trials. And so we're seeing here that everything Jesus began to share was profitable. When He began to speak out of that small boat or large boat, whatever it was, sitting there at the edge of the sea, and the people were on the shore, and He began to speak, it was profitable for everyone that was there. And if their heart was desirous, they received. See, He began to share all that in those parables, in those stories, but oh, His day's not done yet, church. He's just begun. Hallelujah. And He's just begun with great things of the kingdom of God. But His day is not done yet. And so in Mark chapter 4, verse number 35, it says, and the same day when the even was come, He saith unto them, let us pass over unto the other side. And when they had sent away the multitude, they took Him even as He was in the ship. And there was also with Him other little ships. And there arose a great storm of wind, and the waves beat into the ship, so that it was now full. What was it full of? Oh, water. Yeah. And he was in the hinder part of the ship, asleep on a pillow. And they awake him and say unto him, Master, carest thou not that we perish? And he arose and rebuked the wind and said unto the sea, Peace, be still. And the wind ceased, and there was a great calm. And he said unto them, Why are ye so fearful? How is it that ye have no faith? And they, that didn't help their fear, church. And they feared exceedingly, even more than what they were being fearful. Now they were even more fearful because, and here's the source of fear. This is something you might want to write down in the margin of your Bible. A lot of times the source of fear is because we don't understand. And if we don't understand, we're afraid of it and we don't even want to try or think about it. That's the source of fear. A lack of understanding is a multitude of fear coming upon us. And said one to another, What manner of man is this, that even the wind and the sea obey him? How many have read this story before? So when circumstances arrive in your life, are you full of faith or full of fear? I mean, you know, you've read the story. You know that he's able to rebuke the wind, calm the sea. What manner of man is this? Do you realize that the disciples knew he was able to do that also? And yet, here they are full of fear. See, we're no different than the disciples were. We're human beings. Fear is a factor in the lives of human beings. It is a factor. Lack of understanding is a factor in the lives of human beings. And there are storms in the lives of human beings. Amen. These disciples, they knew this sea. This was not the first time they've taken a boat across this sea. This apparently, and more than likely, was probably not the first time they got caught in a storm on this sea. But evidently, it was the first time they've got caught in this windstorm, and their boat was filling with water, that Jesus was in the boat with them on this sea. Grab a hold of this, church. Jesus was in the boat, but the storm was still coming. Jesus was in the boat, and the disciples actually showed forth their confidence that he could do something about it. But what they didn't understand is, why is he asleep in the boat not doing something? Woo. Carest not that we perish? What kind of question was that? That was a sharp one. Yeah. What's the matter with you? Don't you know what's going on? That's kind of in Oklahoma terms. That's what they were saying. To the Jesus, to the Lord. And that's why he said, where was your faith? See, your reactions were one of frustration. Your reaction was one of anger. Your reaction was not one of faith. Saying, Lord, would you help us? Are you getting the picture? How many times have you been in the shoes of the disciples in the storms of your life and you're saying, God, why are you doing this? God, why are you allowing this to happen? God, why aren't you doing something? But in reality, we need to be asking, Lord, I'm in a storm. Lord, will you be my help? Will you be my strength? For my confidence is in you. Woo! You see, when we're angry and frustrated, do you realize that means your confidence is not in Jesus Christ? Your confidence is in what you think about Jesus Christ and what you know about Jesus Christ. And that confidence is very shallow because it's not really in Jesus Christ. It's still in you. And because it's still in you, that's why you are angry, and that's why you are frustrated, and that's why you are not actually praying. Because you are trying to control the storm. You're trying to make the storm go away. You're wanting the storm to go away instead of just asking for the Lord his help. Because he'll take you through the storm. It's all in a day's work. Hallelujah. And what I mean by that is that it's no big problem for God. How great is your God? Woo! Hallelujah. How great is your God? You will find those that have confidence in the greatness of God will always be magnifying Him for how great He is. Woo, hallelujah. Those that have been helped in the time of trouble, those that have been moved on by the Spirit of God, they're going to be rejoicing in the greatness of their God. But those who are in doubt and fear, anger and frustration, don't have anything to rejoice about, because they haven't yet come to the reality of the greatness of their God. Their reality is their circumstance, their storm is greater than God. Their reality is their storm, God hasn't done anything about my storm. And what it is we have forgotten the proper procedures of getting help from heaven. We don't demand it from God, and we don't blame God if the storm's coming. We just ask and we shall receive. We seek and we shall find. We knock and the door shall be open. Hallelujah. You see, we've got to press towards our God. We've got to reach towards our God. Hallelujah. Not just sit back with our arms crossed, puffed up and said, "Where are you at, God?" That's not going to work. But no, humble that heart. Begin to ask of the Lord with confidence. He knows you. He knows your storm. And He's just waiting for you to ask for the help that you need. Hallelujah. Doesn't mean the storm's going to go away. In this situation, it did. In this situation, it did. But a lot of times, the storm's not going to go away. You're just going to shine right in the middle of it. Wow. Listen to this morning. Stars shine the brightest in the darkest night. Spices smell the sweetest when they are pounded. Young trees root the faster for shaking. Vines are the better for bleeding. Gold looks the brighter by scouring. Juniper smells the sweetest in the fire. Such is the condition of all God's children. They are the most triumphant when tempted, most glorious when most afflicted, most in favor of God when least in man's favor. As their conflicts, so their conquests. As their tribulations, so their triumphs. Woo, praise God. I preached a message a while back. It's been several years ago. And I titled it, "And It Came to Pass." And of course, we realize as we read the Christmas story, that is a common phrase about Jesus Christ fulfilling all the prophecies. But I didn't use it that way. I use it for the trials and the temptations that come to our lives. They didn't come to stay. They come to pass. They didn't come to take us out. They came to make us stronger. They didn't come to take us down. They came to help us rise up and be triumphant. Hallelujah. You're never going to be stronger if you're not tested. But in the middle of that test and in the middle of that trial, you have someone that has told you in His Word that I will never leave you nor forsake you. Whew. So never, never think that when a storm of life comes that Jesus has forsaken you. Nope, He's right there to help you. And what you have to do, start calling on His name. Start worshiping Him. Start acknowledging Him. Hallelujah. Wisdom from Oswald Chambers. The Bible is a relation of facts, the truth of which must be tested. Life may go on all right for a while when suddenly a bereavement comes or some crisis, unrequited love or a new love or a disaster or a business collapse or a shocking sin, and we turn up or open up our Bibles again and God's Word comes straight home. And we say, "Well, I never saw that there before." The help in the time of trouble. The answer to the prayer, Lord, I need your help, is when God's word opens up and we see what his word says and we take it to heart and we put it into action in the midst of the circumstances that we're in. Every individual will be different because all circumstances are different. All individuals are different. But it's kind of reflecting back to our teaching on Thursday night to be led by the Spirit of God. We have been born again by the Spirit of God, need to be baptized in the Holy Ghost of God so that we can develop and maintain being led by the Spirit of God. And being led by the Spirit of God doesn't just mean all the good times. It means in the midst of the storm, being led by the Spirit of God and not by the spirit of fear. He's not given us the spirit of fear, but the spirit of love, a sound mind. Woo, hallelujah. What's that mean? That means we're thinking about God. We're thinking about what God wants us to do. And we are not just thinking about doing it. We're going to do it. Knowing that whatever he directs us from his word will bring us the victory. Do you realize the victory is that easy? Taking God at his word and following it. And victory is ours. Every time. Every time, no matter the situation nor the circumstance. But sometimes following the word of God means I have to deny my convenience. Deny the easy chair. Deny being comfortable. I got to get up and I got to go forward. Hallelujah. Can't sit there any longer. How many remember the story of those men sitting outside the gate of Samaria? And the siege was on and the city was dying. And they had no idea what God was doing. But they were sitting there and they made this statement, why sit we here till we die? Woo! Why do we sit and die when we could arise and find the miraculous of God? Because if they had stayed sitting there, sure enough, they would have died. If they didn't die from hunger and starvation, they would have died when they swung open the gates and the multitude rushed through the gate of God's victory. Because there was one individual that didn't make it through that circumstance because he doubted and defied. Hello. You see, we are able because it's all in a day's work for God. Just all in a day's work. It is no big problem to him. You got something else? You need that day? It's all in a day's work. No problem. Bring it on. Bring it to me. Hallelujah. Praise our God. And so we see then that Jesus Christ can come. Storms of life, but he also uses the storms of life to teach and train us and make us stronger. It was a test in these disciples' faith, and actually you notice that they failed their test that time. Doesn't mean they weren't going to get another one. Doesn't mean that they were totally out of the picture. They were realizing there is a growth process in Christianity. You don't get saved and have it right all the time. You don't get saved and miraculously you have totally the mind of Christ and you never have wrong thoughts again. It's not how it works. You're saved by the grace of the Lord Jesus Christ, by your faith in him, and you are now entering in to the war zone. You're now entering into the battle of your life that you've never had before, and that's why some turn and go the other direction because they don't want the warfare. But you got to count the cost. What does desertion bring? Destruction, dishonor, and no help. What does fighting the fight of faith bring? It brings peace. It brings power. Hallelujah. It brings joy. It brings victory. It brings that my prayers are heard and my prayers are answered. It brings God helping me fight my battle. Woo!
Because a lot of times the battles are going to be there regardless of whether you're a Christian or not. Circumstances of life are going to be there whether you're a Christian or not. Bible says it rains on the just and the unjust, just alike. There are crises of life that are just going to happen because we're human beings on the face of this earth. And so you're going to have to face them regardless. So why not choose Jesus and find the help in the time of need? Woo, praise our God. It's all in a day's work. Amen. And so now he calms the storm. He moves across the sea. He immediately comes to the other side. And verse number 1 of chapter number 5. It says, "And when they came over unto the other side of the sea, into the country of the Gadarenes, and when he was come out of the ship, immediately there met him out of the tombs a man with an unclean spirit, who had his dwelling among the tombs, and no man could bind him, no, not with chains, because that he had been often bound with fetters and chains, and the chains had been plucked asunder by him, and the fetters broken in pieces, neither could any man tame him." The demonic. Nobody could help him. Nobody had helped him. But Jesus came on the scene. Just another opportunity to exalt his heavenly Father. Just another opportunity to show forth the power and the authority that he had upon the face of this earth. And he delivers this man from a legion of devils. And in the process destroys 2,000 herd of swine, or a herd of swine with 2,000 pigs in it. That's a lot of devils. But Jesus Christ delivered, set him free. Not everybody liked it. Not everybody's going to like it when Jesus Christ sets you free. People around there didn't like it. They were more upset because the pigs were gone than they were that the demonic was set free. They didn't have any joy about the situation at all. They were fearful again because they didn't understand how this could be. And they didn't like the fact that their prophet was gone in the worldly things around them. They didn't like it that he had been set free. But you can rest assured, he did. That individual was so thankful. He wanted to get in the boat and go with Jesus. He was going to follow him anywhere and everywhere. But Jesus told him, "No, go back home. Go ahead and go face the fire." Jesus knew that everybody was not happy with it, but yet he told him to go back and tell them the great things God has done for you. You find later in Scripture that Jesus came back to this territory and they received him with open arms. Why? Because of one man, his testimony of the power of God. Hallelujah. Woo! Glory to the King. And then they were ready to receive. You see, nobody else could set him free, but Jesus Christ set him free. There is still power in Jesus Christ. There is still deliverance in Jesus Christ. Jesus Christ can set men free when men want to be set free. You go read this story once again. The demonic individual did not sit back in the tombs waiting for Jesus to come to him. That demonic possessed individual still had enough about his mentality that he evidently, in my opinion, had heard about Jesus Christ and the power that he had performed on other people's lives. And the Bible says that immediately he came running out of the tombs to meet Jesus the minute he got out of the boat. Hallelujah. And Jesus Christ set him free. So now you understand why I say deliverance is for anybody who wants to be delivered. Hallelujah. Because if that man would have ran the other direction and ran away from Jesus Christ, he'd still be demon-possessed today, if you will. But he saw the opportunity and he went towards his help. Hallelujah. He saw who it was. Maybe it was the devils who saw who it was first, because they knew exactly who he was.
That has always amazed me that men couldn't understand who Jesus was, but the devils knew it automatically. Just part of that spiritual kingdom we don't fully understand, yet it shows how dull we can be as human beings. Oh yeah, because it's God that reveals. And if we're not wanting to be touched by God, we ain't going to get much from God. And then we'll turn around and say, well, God's never done anything for me. That's because you've never asked him. Whew, well, I asked and he didn't do anything. Are you sure you really asked, or did you really demand wanting God to prove himself to you? See, there we are. Wrong attitude, wrong spirit, no results. Divine inspiration plus positive human response always equals supernatural results. Amen. That's how it works. When God speaks, we receive. It changes things. Hallelujah. And so we see then deliverance was available that day. Mark 10 and 27 says, and Jesus, looking upon them, said, with men it is impossible, but not with God, for with God all things are possible. I remember when I first got saved, and I began to share that I had gotten saved. And people were looking at me, and I'd begin to share, you know, that God had called me to preach. And sometimes I'd meet people, and I'd already been pastoring, and their jaw falls down to their chest. And they look at me and say, you're pastoring? Because all they knew is what I used to be, what I used to do, where I used to go, how I used to act. And they just couldn't see me pastoring. But here I am, all of me, I'm pastoring. Hallelujah. Praise our God. Thank you, Jesus. Because it's all in a day's work for him. He's taken me from point A to this point of my life by his grace, by his mercy, and by his power, by his word coming, and him not giving up that fourth year. Hallelujah. Not giving up on me when I was kind of dragging behind, when I was kind of tired of dealing with people. I don't have any problem. It's just when I get around people, they've got problems. You know, that's how we get sometimes. But you see, in reality, your problem is my problem, because your problem is God's problem. Hallelujah. And I'm here to help you get a hold of God. So your problem's my problem, not in the sense that it's going to drag me down, but in the sense I'm going to help you reach up. Hallelujah. And I know who can take care of the problem. I know he's got an answer for the problem. I know he's got an answer. I know he's got his word that will lead me out of my wilderness. I know that he's got the power and his spirit to help me hearken to his word. Hallelujah. See, everything is for me. If God be for us, who can be against us? What is that statement? That means if God is on my side, who can defeat me? Who can overcome me? It's not that you're overcome, it's you give up. That's what Satan's looking for in every born-again believer. Somebody that will give up. Somebody that will quit. I just ain't going to mess with that anymore. No. I'm not a quitter. And I don't need to give up. Because I understand God's word. If God be for me, who can be against me? So if it's not happening, it's not on God's end. It's on mine. So I've got to press towards him. I've got to reach towards it. I've got to come with an ear ready to hear what the Spirit says unto me to show me the way out. Anybody ever entered into one of those corn mazes? Or maybe just a maze that was at a fair or something, you know, where you got to enter in and then you got to find your way through. Not everybody makes it out of there. Did you know that? I mean, we've taken our children, our school children, to several different ones, you know, and most of the time the older ones make it out, but some of the younger ones, they'll be staggering around in there, and you got to go back in, you know, and you got to lead them out by the hand. Hallelujah. But there's been a time or two I've went out to lead them out, said, oh, no, I don't need help. I'll make it.
okay, see ya. I'm gone. You know, they're still staggering around. I come back in. You know, you figured out that I knew how to get in and out, but they hadn't figured it out yet. All right, you want some help? Nope, I got this. You know, you go back in, they're still in the same, walking in that circle. You know, they've always put a circle in there, and they're just walking in that circle. Yeah, I got it. Sometimes were they that way with Jesus. Sometimes Jesus doesn't wait for us. He comes right up to us and says, I'll help you if you'll follow me. I'll help you if you'll follow me. Oh, I got it, Lord. I got this. I've got this whooped. I don't need any help today. I've got it under control. Hogwash. We never have it under control until it's under His control. That is the only time it will be under control. Hallelujah. His day hasn't stopped yet. I've got to move on because mine's about to stop. Hallelujah. And so we move on to verse 21 and we find that now he's left. He's got back in a boat. What was that? That was a test for the disciples. Woo! He's gotten back in the boat. He's going back to the other side where he just come from. Why is he doing that? I really don't know why he's doing that. Maybe he's led by the Spirit of God and that's what needs to be done right now. Woo! Hello? Never ask, Lord, why do you want me to do that? Say, yes, Lord, I will. Yes, Lord, I will. If he's asking you to do it, then he's got a reason. He needs it done. He's got a plan. Hallelujah. And so now he's delivered the demoniac. He sent him to evangelize that area. And now he's gotten right back in that boat again. You realize that the disciples had to dump the water out of the boat? I never read in here that Jesus took the water out of the boat. Who had to take the water out of the boat? I'm going to just go right back out there with a boat full of water? I mean, that'd really been... But I don't think they had that kind of faith. I think while he was dealing with that demoniac, some of them was bailing the water, dumping the boat over sideways. Man, this thing ain't going to float if we got to go back. And sure enough, he delivers this man and says, all right, we're going back to the other side. Wow. And he no more gets to the other side than he's met with another need. He's met. Jairus, his daughter's sick. And he comes asking, Lord, if you'll come and pray for my daughter, I know she'll be well. He had faith. He come to where Jesus was another. Here we go again. I hope if we don't get anything else out of this message, we get the fact that we got to go to Jesus. We've got to go to him. And sure enough, he says, I'll go with you. And they're on their journey to his house. And on this journey, someone else comes along. Wow. Another burden? Man, I got to do something else today? Woo. It's all in a day's work, church. All in a day's work. Hallelujah. And so, sure enough, he's come back to the other side. He's rested up. He got a good nap in the boat on the way over there. Hallelujah. Now he's come back to the other side, and he's walking. He's journeying. He's going to his house. He's going to pray. He's going to heal his daughter. It's on his mind. That's the purpose of his heart. And he's on his way, and now all of a sudden, another circumstance arises. There comes a little lady. Been sick for 12 years, and she has purpose in her heart that she ain't gonna be sick anymore. And she has purpose in her heart that if I can just touch the hem of his garment, I'll be whole. And so she begins her ascent, if you will, because really it was like climbing a mountain, because the Bible says there was a throng around him. Now, you know, if I wanted to get to Larry Joshua back there from this pulpit, you know, I could just be right there. You know, now if I wanted to get to Timmy, well, I'd have to climb over Lydia and Robert. And if I went the other way, then I'd just have to throw Isaac out of the way and I'd be there. And so, praise our God. But there was a throng between her and Jesus. That means they were shoulder to shoulder.
chest to back, everybody trying to get as close as they could to Jesus. And now she was weak, she was feeble, but she had to press through that throng. So that means she wasn't going that way. She had to start entering in and go with the flow. So that means she had to just keep walking, keep struggling, keep reaching until she never talked to anybody else. She may have said, excuse me, pardon me, pardon me, excuse me, but she never told anybody about her problem. She just knew, if I touch the hem of his garment, she makes her way all the way close to him. She doesn't holler at him. She doesn't scream at him. She's probably out of breath. She's probably almost collapsed, really, because of her ailment. And if you will, picture in your mind, it may have been her last strength that she fell down on the ground and touched the hem of his garment. When's the last time you put forth that much effort to receive something from God? Wow. But it's like that. Her body was whole. And Jesus stopped. And said, who touched me? And his disciples, you know, their first thought, Lord, everybody's been touching you. We're in a throng, Lord. What are you talking about? You know, that's that carnal mind. Jesus knew someone had touched him and received what they were after. But now it doesn't stop. She gets commended for her faith. She gets her healing. And she becomes a focal point of what pressing towards the mark will bring. Wow. Hallelujah. Oh, but it's not over. It's still not over. Now we got messengers coming to Jairus. Say, don't trouble him. She's already died. What are you going to do? You going to get mad? Frustrated? Angry? Did he start blaming Jesus because he didn't move fast enough? He was not going to trouble him anymore. He was accepting the outcome. Ah, but then Jesus, this is another time, he stepped forward. He said, just believe. We're on our way. A lot of times in the midst of your storm, in the midst of the troubles of life, in the midst of your circumstances, it looks like it's not going to end. It looks like it's even gotten worse. And that's when Jesus will step up with his grace. Only believe. Keep believing. There was a time or two when we were trying to deal and get this building and get the loan for this building. I was ready just to throw in the towel. I thought, there surely can't be another piece of paper I've got to sign. Surely another thing to do? I got to do that? And that's when he would come by and say, only believe. Only believe. Hallelujah. Praise our God. And she was healed. He went on to the house, and I'm going to move on here. And try to close this morning. I'm feeling and I'm trusting that the message is making its way into our hearts and in our minds, that my God is able to do exceedingly and abundantly above what I can think or ask. Amen? Because it's all in a day's work for him. It's not a problem for him. He wants us to bring our cares to him. But we've got to come in faith. You see, he even faced more turmoil when he got to that house. Because he told him, oh, she's not dead. She's only asleep. The Bible says they laughed at him. Literally laughed at him. And so he just put all them out of the house. Took the mom and the dad and a few of the disciples in there and raised her from the dead.
said, give her something to eat. Praise our God. Hallelujah. You see, God is able. I'm going to close with this. Sister Pepper's coming back to the piano. To those who have had no agony, Jesus says, I have nothing for you. Stand on your own feet. Square your own shoulders. I have come for the man who knows he has a bigger handful than he can cope with or deal with. Who knows that there are forces he cannot touch. I will do everything for him if he will let me. Only let a man grant that he needs it, and I will do it for him. Wow. You see, if I come on with that, Lord, I got this. Lord, I can handle this. I don't need your help right now. I think I've got it under control. We'll get nothing. We'll receive nothing. But when we come to Him knowing that our need is greater than what we can handle and what we can do, what is that called? It's called humility. Thinking I can take care of this myself is called pride. A lot of times we as men, and sad to say, a lot of times if we're big and burly men and always been take control type guys, sometimes we have a hard time with faith and thinking we need help. Because we think we'll just bull our way through it somehow, some way. We'll make this happen. I'm just sharing me with you here this morning. Because it does work in many situations, but it's not going to work in spiritual dilemmas. In spiritual dilemmas, it's going to be totally the opposite. I'm going to have to kneel down on my knees, and I'm going to have to confess that, God, I've been trying to do this, but I haven't got it done. And I'm realizing I can't do this. And so, Lord, I need your help. Lead me out of this situation. Lead me out of this storm. Lead me out of this dilemma. You're going to find when you come to that place, you're going to be ready to do whatever needs to be done to help rectify the situation. Because a lot of times we've created our own storms by our own decisions, our own desires, our own weaknesses. We've created our own life circumstances. But see, Jesus is not really interested on how they got there. What he's interested in is leading me out of them. Leading me through them. Bringing me victory in the midst of the storm. That is what he is an expert at. For Jesus Christ, it is all in a day's work. Hallelujah. Whatever you bring to him, he is able to bear that load and show you what you need to do. If it's just an immediate touch, he's able to do that. If it's revealing his word so that you can walk out of that situation by obedience, it will be that way. You see, it doesn't make any difference, because either or, it's his way. It's his way. It's all in a day's work for the Lord Jesus Christ. Let's stand together, church. Hallelujah. Praise be to our God. So no matter where we're at, no matter what we're going through, no matter what we're facing, Jesus Christ can lead us. He can help us. When you and I will humble our hearts, ask for his help, and listen when he begins to share what needs to be done. And he will lead if I will follow. Father in heaven, we praise your mighty name. And God, we thank you for your holy word. And God, we thank you for the truths of your kingdom. Hallelujah. And I pray, God, let our hearts rejoice. Let our ears hear, God, what you're speaking to us. For you're speaking great things to us here this day.
all through this service, Lord. God, help us to respond, Lord God. Hallelujah. Help us to hear. Help us to move towards you. Oh, God of heaven, Lord, for you know our needs before we ever ask. But yet, Lord, you want us to ask. So, Lord, we're coming this morning, and we're coming to ask. Let's come around these altars, church.